you guys. Happy Sunday. Kind of late today.
Yeah, had a workman over, put my new lights out.
The workman.
Yeah, I had to get an electrician. Took my chandelier down, which that was good. That bitch was too big. Room looked big.
He said, he was kind of like, when we came and looked at the house,
yeah.
The front room, it had like this kind of formal dining room in it, and it had this massive chandelier.
It was like a joke. I don't understand.
It was low because it's like a high ceiling, but it was so low that if you walked right underneath it, you would whack your head.
In it. Yeah.
And I'm like 5'3", and I still was like, it was like that. And I was just kind of like, that seems a little impractical.
But who put that there?
But I mean, I guess normally you would have like a big table underneath it so people wouldn't be walking underneath it, but it was
that
still
room
like
isn't big though.
It was still like really, really big.
But
so,
now that thing's gone, our fucking room seems a lot bigger.
So the electrician came and he took that down and also fixed the lights outside in the garage. Yeah. I don't remember if we said this before, but the two outside lanterns like on the side of the garage, whoever was in this house before tried to replace the bulbs or never replace the bulbs, and they exploded.
No, they all broke.
He was trying
to take them out, and he broke every one of them. There's like three in each one.
They all broke in the socket.
Yeah, and I was just like, these things don't look good.
They were ugly anyway.
So I got rid of them. So I had a white man come put those up there, and I got that Hispanic discount. Yeah, I got the Hispanic discount. Yeah, because I realized I found out I was a white Hispanic. So it's like,
all right.
No, I'm just kidding.
We talked about that on Friday night. Yeah. Well, because I'm amazed now. You speak Portuguese,
I'm
so apparently.
I'm a white Hispanic. Yeah,
apparently.
I'm amazed now.
That means that you can.
Well, it makes sense. You got Irish down in Brazil, and you got Irish in Brazil, and fucking Argentina and Paraguay and Uruguay. Chile is fucking filled with Irish. So yeah, white Hispanic. That's right. There's no difference.
Yeah, close enough.
I identify. Yeah.
Sure.
You can identify as anything, and I'm just identifying as it. Yeah, okay. That'll work. Anyway, this was a great movie. This movie is called Enemy Mine. And I saw it when it came out, but not in the theater. I saw it on VHS, and I loved it when I saw it. But I always thought of it as like a low-budget movie. If you see it now on a good HD television, this bitch looks fucking great, and it's got a great story. Good movie. And called Enemy Mine. And there is kind of an unofficial sequel to it called Hunter Prey, which is hard to find.
Which didn't we find one on YouTube that had like
you can watch it on
like
YouTube
Arabic subtitles
Hindi
or something?
Subtitles or something. You can watch it for free on Amazon.
Maybe we should watch that tonight and talk about it after this, because that movie is actually not an official sequel, but it's like an unofficial sort of, it talks about the Drax in the same universe.
Yeah.
It talks about the Drax. Yeah.
Yeah. It's in the same universe. The guys that made it said that we threw the Drax in there because it's not copyrighted.
Yeah.
They were fans of the show. It's along the same lines.
I mean, the crazy thing about this movie, it came out in 1985, right? And I didn't see it in the theater either. I saw it on cable, like a year or two later, whenever it came to cable. I saw it when it came out. And the weird thing about it is that I liked it. I saw it a couple of times. But when we watched it again, I found that I had almost like completely forgotten like the second part of the film, or like the third part of the film after... Should we say? I mean, it's 85. I was going to say after, spoiler alert, after Jerry dies.
The Drac. Right.
I thought I had remembered that being the end of the movie.
No, that's...
Because I remember that happening, but I was like, no, there's like a whole bunch of movie after that that I had completely and totally forgotten about.
Yeah, Jerry dying, that's like, that happens in the last, that's the first third of the movie.
Yeah.
I think, or at least a half. Maybe it's a half movie.
Yeah, it was kind of, I think it was like about half, maybe.
Second half of the movie is him raising Jerry's offspring and then trying to, and saving him from the slavers and trying to return the child to the Drac. And the special effects are fantastic.
Well, it was Industrial Light and Magic.
It looks great.
Did them.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think they look as good as the ones in Star Wars, but the matte paintings and stuff like that look really good.
It's as good.
And the makeup looks really good.
It's good in terms of special effects, I would say quality on par with like Wrath of Khan, just that there isn't as many ship battles in it, but it's about like that.
It's weird because
look like
I remember... I remember this being advertised out the fucking wazoo, like, in 1985. And I didn't realize at the time, because like I said, I didn't see it in the theater. I didn't realize at the time how troubled this production was and how much of a financial failure it was. It really only kind of found an audience later, like on cable and VHS, like I guess a lot of these types of movies did. I kind of feel like they didn't really know how to market it because they were trying to market it like a shoot 'em up sci-fi action type of thing, and it's not that.
Survival, adventure, friendship.
Yeah, there is some of that in it, but I mean, the bulk of the movie is like a drama, mostly. It's kind of like with some sort of comedic elements toward the beginning, but it's sort of about, you know, two enemies like coming to like finding friendship and survival, and like it's like about brotherhood.
Yeah.
Really. So it's not, I kind of feel like they marketed it more toward like a Star Wars type thing.
Yeah.
And it's not really like that.
Kind of like interstellar race war. These two races are at war with each other, and they both see each other as the villains. You know what I mean? Like the Earth people think that they got attacked, and then the Drak people think that we invaded their territory, and they're just fighting it out. All kinds of bad shit happens. Fucking child's born. The Drak dies. Jerry is what they called him. And then he raises the child, tries to get it back to the Drak. It's kind of like a Robinson Crusoe story. They're marooned on this planet. I think towards the end, the war was over between the Draks. Wasn't it?
I think it was,
yeah. Yeah, the war was over with the Draks. So it became peacetime, which is an important lesson. If you have any military experience, whoever you're fighting a few years later, you're now allies with them. That's the constant theme. And it's the same with this movie, is that the wars don't last long. And so it's kind of like the story is more about the relationship between dudes of fucking in different planets, you know what I mean, throughout war and peace. But, you know, spoiler alert, Drax only have one sex. They're hermaphroditic.
Yeah, they're self-impregnating.
Yeah, so they just kind of make offspring. So they're whatever gender they have to be at the moment, because Jerry does kind of go a little female once Jerry starts having a child. It's weird. You just got to see it. Good movie.
But like I said,
hormones change.
But like I said, they wouldn't have any concept of that because they don't understand.
No,
there's just one. They're all the same.
Yeah.
Gender. There's no distinction.
He was getting motherly though.
Well, that's just because Earthlings wrote it.
Yeah, that makes sense though. It makes sense because it's like that. It's like that in like mollusk life forms and other kind of life forms that do that too. They almost kind of change gender during pregnancy for a while. Then they would go back to being male. It's like they did it in the sea life.
Yeah,
you know. So that's kind of what it does. It's both sex. It's whatever sex has to be at the moment.
Yeah. It's just, I kind of feel like I really like, one of the best things about this, I think, is the sort of, I guess it's sort of like Dennis Quaid's character arc, because he kind of starts out as kind of a douche.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just very, he hates Drax, he's, you know, he's a fighter pilot, he's some kind of cocky, hotshot, asshole type of dude. And when he first crash lands on the planet, I mean, him and Jerry, I mean, that's not the alien's name,
that's
but he has
name
like,
he,
that's the name he gives him because it's very glib. He can't like pronounce like his Drak name. So he just calls him Jerry for short. But they were doing like a dogfight, right? And they just both like crashed onto this planet. And so for a long time, they're just like distrust and, you know, they hate each other. And as the time goes, and honestly, for a long time, like, Dennis Quaid's character is kind of just, like, shitting on him. It's, like, making fun of him all the time, like, making fun of his the way he talks, like, the way he looks.
His religion. Yeah.
You know, all this other kind of shit. So it's nice that, and as the time goes on, and I think that's, like, kind of the best part of the movie, is just how their relationship and friendship develops, and this, like, mutual respect, because he actually does come down a peg, and he actually asks Jerry to teach him to speak some Drak, and Drak learns English, and, you know, I guess, what's his name? What's Dennis Quaid's character? David,
I forgot.
He calls him, like, Jerry calls him by his last name. but I can't remember what it was.
Javich
or Magwitch or something like that. I can't remember what it is.
Javich or Davich. Davich is his name. Davich.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Gadgy3.
Who's that?
Donna is not here, but I am. Tell the wee hottie she is beautiful anyway, if you don't mind. She's the reason I've not been active. Love you both. Okay, Donna, you're beautiful,
yeah.
Even though you're not here. Right. You might see this later, though, so okay. You are beautiful, Donna. Wasn't that a song, Donna? Mm-hmm. By shit, man, the one that died in the plane crash. I can't remember. But yeah, so I think because I liked that part of the movie so much, and I hadn't seen it for so long that I thought that was like the whole movie. Now, interestingly, this movie is based on a novella, and the novella came out in 1979, and that was indeed all of the story. It was just basically them, like, on the planet and them, you know, working together and, you know, they were enemies and blah, blah, blah. The only reason they added that whole end sequence with, like, the miners coming there and, you know, enslaving all the Drax and Jerry's son, you know, or offspring, Zamis,
I
think. Getting kidnapped and then, like, you know, Davidge trying to save him was because... the producers of the film thought that because it was called Enemy Mine, that people would be confused if there wasn't a literal mine in the movie.
Really?
Yes.
That's how dumb
they are. Isn't that stupid? Yeah. It's like, that's how dumb they think that people are. Although, it's just, I don't know. Obviously, they didn't know how to market this. Like I said, I didn't know. I kind of looked into the background of this, and this is actually kind of fascinating. They first started making the movie... In Bulgaria, Belgium, somewhere. And the first director was Richard Loncrane, who was the same guy that did Brimstone and Treacle. And he also did Full Circle, which was what they, in Britain, they called The Haunting of Julia, which was based on that Peter Straub novel. I reviewed it a while back. So he was the first guy. But then... I guess the budget for this was only supposed to be, I think, $17 million to start with. But I guess they were shooting in Iceland and they couldn't get the shots they wanted and the budget kept going up and up. And there were creative differences, like with the director and shit. And so the studio stepped in and said, well, we still want to finish this movie, but we don't want this director on it. So they brought in... Wolfgang Petersen, who was the same guy that had done, he did Das Boot, he did Neverending Story, he did In the Line of Fire, Outbreak, Air Force One, Perfect Storm, he did all those. So they brought him in, and when he came in, he was kind of like, well, he's like, one, all the shit that they shot, it just looked like Earth, it didn't look like another planet. So he's like, we're going to scrap all that, and he wanted to shoot parts of it in Africa, and then he shot some of the studio stuff like in Germany. And so he basically started all over again. So this movie ended up costing like $40 million to make, and I think it only made like less than $10 million back. Like it came out over the Christmas period in 1985, and they were expecting it to like do way better because they spent a shit ton of money advertising this. They had TV spots, they had posters, they had shit everywhere. And... like I said, I kind of feel like, and so even some of the executives said this at the time, they're like, we weren't really sure how to market it. Because like I said, I think they were trying to market it as more toward kids, as like a, as like a sci-fi type movie. And it, that's not really at all what this movie is.
Should have marketed it right along the lines of Star Trek.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that would have been a more, because this is a very Star Trek-y type of story. You know what I mean? Because it's basically, I mean, it's basically like, you know, it's the same thing as something like District 9 or something like that, which is obviously they're talking about like racism or, you know, things like that. And, but filtered through aliens.
Yeah. Aliens and humans.
Yeah. I mean, there were other movies like this. I don't know why they didn't.
This movie, though, I remember this movie. This movie made Louis Gossett's. Is that name Gossett, right?
Louis Gossett Jr.
Louis Gossett. This made his career.
I mean, he
this
was
the first time
great
I ever,
in this.
This is the first time I ever. Knew of the existence of that Gossett guy. And then he went on to do Iron Eagle and everything. But everyone was talking about how well he played this alien. And he does. It's not like a person in a suit. He comes off as a real alien. Does a great job.
Yeah. I mean, and that's another thing. That's another thing, too, that when they brought the new director in, he made them redo the suit or the makeup, because he's like, the first one just looked like a dude in a rubber suit.
Yeah.
So he actually wanted to do like a better one.
You knock it off. She's pulling the books out.
She's like, you guys are not paying attention to me.
No.
Oh my God, you guys, you should have heard her yesterday. She did the craziest thing.
Oh yeah.
She runs up and down the halls all the time. She's getting zoomies, you know what I mean? She's like runs up and down, runs up and down. And yesterday I'm sitting in here and Tom was in the bedroom and I hear brum, 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 like she runs down the hall. And then all of a sudden I heard like this kind of fucking, I can't do it because my voice is fucked up. And I leaned out the door. I said, was that her?
Yeah.
I never heard her make that noise before.
Yeah, sounded like...
It sounded like a little bobcat.
Sounded like a little leopard.
And so then, like, all day we were...
What the fuck?
Yeah, we both came out like, was that Pookie?
Was that you? And she's standing there in my doorway in the other room. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing it. I was like, what are you growling for? She was happy.
I know, she looked all like tough and everything.
Yeah.
I never heard her make that noise.
Yeah.
All day yesterday we were trying to get her to do it again, but
yeah,
she wouldn't.
Do it again. she had to be in a mood.
I guess she was like fantasizing about like being on the Serengeti or something like that, chasing down an elk or something.
Trying to get it,
I guess. I don't know. I just couldn't believe that was her.
But Louis Gossett, this movie here made his career. If you ask me.
It did.
This under his belt, and all of a sudden you started seeing him a lot in the '80s and the '90s. And he was in a lot of action movies and stuff. He never played a role quite this good. But they didn't give him the material, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this was probably his best role,
to
be honest with you.
Yeah, he shows his skill quite well in this. It's worth it just to see his portrayal of the alien.
I heard that he'll still do the Drac voice like at conventions and stuff if they ask him to.
Yeah.
Like, so I guess he enjoyed doing the role.
Yeah.
I mean, that suit looks great. It still looks great from
the
like
the whole movie looks real good. It's a high budget movie. It's as good as say like Wrath of Khan. It's just that it's not ship combat. It's on a planet.
Yeah.
There is some ship combat. It's just not very long. It's not real impressive, you know what I mean, in terms of, you know, like Wrath of Khan or something. But in terms of quality, it's as good as that. I mean, I was going, man, this movie looks fucking great. There's some little alien creatures that they got to deal with, and damn thing, like a damn sarlacc fucking comes out of the ground and grabs people. They're trying to survive.
Yeah, it is, I was like, oh, it's like a sarlacc.
Yeah. And then there's an angle of the story added in there during this war, because the Drax weren't human. They kind of had a law where you kind of could enslave a Drac. And they had these fucking scavengers, these fucking scumbags, who were buying captured Dracs and working them to death in these mines. And Zamies gets fucking captured by them, because they stop by the planet. And the Dennis Quaid character tries to hunt down, which is actually a good part of the movie, tries to hunt these scavengers down, see where they are, and save Zamies from the scavengers.
Because that's essentially his son. I mean,
he raised him
from a baby.
Son. Right. They grow fast, though. It was only a few years.
Yeah.
But you know, Poop. And so he goes in there and leaves a slave revolt against the miners, or the
because
scavengers.
He can speak Drac,
he
goes in there and like,
right.
And they know who he is because Zamies told him
that he would come to get him. You know, the event that he
called him uncle.
Yeah, called him uncle. And but then soon after, the war was over, so they had to stop all that. And it ends with the scene where he takes Zamies back to the Drac home world, and he's got to recite this big thing in a big ceremony to get him, you know, to like join the Drac society. You know, and like humans and Dracs are allies now at this point, which that's talked about later. And kind of like the spiritual sequel of this, which is
Hunter Prey. Which maybe we should watch tonight so we can
watch
talk
tonight.
About that tomorrow.
I wish it, you know, the quality isn't real high. You can watch it for free on YouTube.
But it's a bitch to get. I looked it up and there was like no streaming service.
Nobody's streaming it.
Thank you again, Gadgy 3. Did you get the garage lights done? Yes, we did.
Yes, done.
Yes, we got the garage lights done, and we got the big ugly chandelier taken down from the dining room.
Yeah.
That we didn't like.
So I really recommend Hunter Prey. The copy on YouTube is not that good, and it looks like it has like Hindi or some kind of Hindi or Sanskrit subtitles underneath it. I haven't been able to watch it all. It looks complete. I kind of skimmed through it real quick. It looked like it was all there. It's kind of low resolution. The graphics are kind of inferior, but if you like it, you can buy it. You can get it on DVD, but it's pretty expensive. It's $20 on DVD.
Yeah, it's really one of those movies, for some reason, it's just like really difficult to get hold of, which is a shame because it's really good.
It's real good. And Amazon lists a Blu-ray for $40. I don't know who's got it. But Hunter Prey is a small indie film, but it's done really well, real well. It's as good as this. If not, maybe a little bit better. I kind of like the story out of Hunter Prey a little bit better. But they're both good. They're both good.
I had actually forgotten, like I said, I hadn't seen this movie in so long. I didn't know that it was the same director that did Neverending Story, but that totally makes sense because this is... The tone of this kind of reminds me of Neverending Story a little bit.
A little darker.
Yeah, I guess. But it is kind of like similar. Some people have said the alien in this looks like the one from The Last Starfighter, which, yeah. I kind of feel like I was watching Red Letter Media did a thing of this just a couple weeks ago. And he was saying that he confused this movie with The Last Starfighter sometimes. I guess just because the alien kind
of
looks...
This one's a lot better than The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, I remember... This Last Starfighter was okay, but I remember liking this one a lot better.
It's a lot more authentic.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked, like, you know, just the whole heartfelt relationship between Dennis Quaid. And I honestly, for 1985, because I think I was saying this to you while we were watching it, because I remembered Jerry, you know, the alien, like, getting pregnant and having a baby. I was like, I remembered all that. But I had forgotten, like, how for 1985, I was like, wow, it's really kind of, like, ahead of its time. Yeah. I mean, he kind of, like, Dennis Quaid was, like, laughed and thought it was, like, funny that, you know, that the what he thought was a male alien was pregnant. But they didn't really make a huge deal about it. And I was, like, watching this other review, too. This might have been the Red Letter Media, too. But they really liked the way, because they said, you know how sometimes, like, in movies, particularly from the 80s, you know, you'd have two guys who were like friends who were hanging out and they always had to be like, I am super straight. You know what I mean? I was banging all these chicks and everything. So there'd be like a no homo kind of moment. You know, so you wouldn't think that there was any gay stuff going on, like between the two male characters. They didn't do that in this one. And I thought it was like way better for it. And I liked the way Dennis Quaid's character was just kind of like, he thought it was funny, like, because he thought it was weird, but then he was like, okay, and then, like, as soon as he saw the baby, he was like, okay, I'm taking care of this baby now, and it was just like, and he just raised the kid, and I just thought that was pretty awesome.
Well, he didn't think about it. He said he had heard that Drax only had one gender, but he didn't think about it.
And yeah, but then when he actually saw it, I guess it sort of made him a little bit uncomfortable, but then he just kind of, like, rolled with it, and I thought that was kind of cool. I'm like, wow, that's, like, really ahead of its time for 1985.
It was, well, it's the same, in the same spirit of Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's handled the same way Star Trek would have handled it.
Yeah.
You know?
Which so that's, is, yeah, that's actually a good, that's probably who they should have, marketed this more toward
Star Trek.
Older Trekkies.
Yeah.
Rather than toward, you know, sort of teenage boys that would have gone to see, like, an action-packed, more Star Wars-y type of movie.
I'd have tagged it on to fucking Star Trek.
Yeah, I think that would have done a lot better. I mean, this is just one of those ones that... Man, it just, it really tanked, and, I mean...
It was just bad luck. Bad luck,
it
bad
was.
Timing.
And like I said, they didn't really know how to market it. They marketed the shit out of it. They did spend a lot of money marketing, but they didn't know... they didn't really know what demographic to target it toward,
I'd be curious to see what that did on VHS, because I remember renting it all the time.
Well, that's when it... That's when it picked up. I'm talking about, like, its theatrical run.
Right.
It really, nobody went to see it. It just made, like, way less money than they were expecting. Like, way less money than they were expecting. And, you know, and added that to the fact that it cost much more than they were expecting to make, because they had to switch out the directors and all this other kind of shit. And they had to move the, you know, they had to redo the makeup and they had to move the location and all this other stuff. And actually the actors, like Dennis Quaid and Louis Gossett Jr., they actually had to sit out. So they had to pay them while they were sitting out, while they were sorting out, you know, all the new shit they had to do, and they had to throw out all of the, I think they had $9 million worth of footage they had already done that they weren't going to use. So that just, like, went down the toilet. So, you know, I just kind of feel like it, you know, and then they didn't know how to market it. They were trying to make their money back. They didn't really know what they were doing. And, but it was one of those ones that found its audience later on, because that's kind of like, in the video store, you know, it's cheap, and you could just kind of walk around, and it was like $3 or $4, and, you know, so it wasn't really as big a deal, like, if you rented something you didn't like it, you know, so what? But it was also kind of a thing, too, if you really liked it, then you'd go back and rent it again, because it wasn't expensive. So, you know, just, I didn't rent it, but I saw it on cable. It was on cable a lot. And I do kind of feel like it's one of those movies that a lot of people saw back in the 80s and remember really fondly.
Yeah.
Just coming across that on cable. But you wouldn't necessarily have gone to see it in the theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which would have been like this, which would have kind of sucked because seeing this on VHS, it didn't translate well to fucking VHS and to CRT television. It just didn't look that good. See it on fucking HD, and it's like, man, this looks fucking great. We were watching, and I was like, I had no idea this movie looked so good.
Yeah.
So I thought this was a low-budget movie. No, it's a fucking expensive movie.
But like I said, great. Industrial Light and Magic did the effects.
It looks really good.
I think some of the green screen stuff isn't great, but a lot of the stuff from 85 isn't. The makeup looks really good. And like I said, the stuff with the matte paintings and some of the miniatures and stuff like that look really, really good, I think.
For 85, this is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I think it's fantastic for 85. As good as Wrath of Khan. But the thing is that the special effects are more oriented towards backdrops and planetscapes of the planet that they're on, the creatures that they have to deal with, and just like the environment that they're in. Stuff that happens in the mine also looks real good, but most of it's kind of nature on an alien world. And you buy it. I bought it. I didn't in VHS, but you see it on fucking HD television, and fucking, man, it looks really good. Real artistic.
That's kind of one.
Tones.
That's one nice thing about nowadays is that all of these movies from the 80s that, you know, even if you appreciated them back then, like you couldn't, unless you saw them in the theater,
you just
saw them on VHS or, you know, on your crappy like cable and it looked like ass. And so it's so nice now that all of these companies are actually like releasing them and fixing them all up so they look like what they were intended
to
look like what you would have seen if you saw it in the theater, or maybe even better.
Right.
So I think that's really cool. So you're actually seeing them in their, you know, pristine, like their best presentation possible. So
yeah, and to
cool.
And to compare that Drac to the alien from Last Starfighter, no, not even close. If you actually put them side by side. The one from The Last Starfighter, that guy was just acting like a dude in a costume, and it didn't look very real. This looks real. I say in terms of like of convincing you that, yeah, that might be an alien creature. I put up there with the Predator from Predator 1. It looked like a creature. You know, and the thing from Predator 1 was a lot fucking scarier. But I'm saying the makeup effects were as convincing as Predator 1. It's just a different creature.
Yeah, it looked like a real alien, like a humanoid reptilian alien.
Yeah,
it didn't look like a dude in a costume.
And the way he's moving and talking, you know what I mean? It looks like an alien. You know, he's putting a lot of work into it. It's a convincing character.
Yeah, I mean, he went all in.
Yeah.
And like I said, the voice was great. Like the body movements were great.
His eyes contact.
I think the eyes eyes were really good. Those were some good contacts.
Yeah, and he's got his own culture and everything. And he tries to have a sense of humor, and he's not really good at it. But he gets a little better. You know, it's just you just got to see the movie. It's good.
Didn't he tell Dennis Quaid at one point that Mickey Mouse was a big stupid dope?
Yeah, he had tricked him and told him that Mickey Mouse was a teacher of great wisdom.
Yeah.
So he'd always come back with Mickey Mouse is a big dope. So he's trying to be fucking slick and shit.
So what did we watch this on? This was on.
It was on
Amazon Prime.
Watch it on
now,
Amazon.
did we pay? Right, it was $3.99.
I think it was free, wasn't it? Maybe we did pay.
It was either free or it was $3.99. I can't remember, but
no, I think it was free. Didn't it offer it for free?
Maybe I can't
think it
remember.
Did.
But yeah.
If you have Amazon Prime, you probably get it for free.
So yeah, if you haven't seen it since the 80s, totally, because I have probably hadn't seen it since the late 80s.
Much nicer than you thought it was.
And yeah, and I had totally forgotten, like I said, I totally forgot the whole part at the end, like with the kid getting kidnapped and enslaved and everything. I thought the end of it was like when Jerry died. And so, because I was like, oh, bummer. And I told him, I said, maybe the reason I thought that was because I was so bummed out by it that I just blacked out the rest of the movie because I was, like, sad. But so I had forgotten that. So it was kind of, like, cool to see it again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that the first part of the movie with the two of them interacting is the best part. But it does get more action-packed toward the end. Plus, Brian James is in it. He's, like, a villain, so he's always good to see. I feel like he always plays a villain. That bitch was in Blade Runner. He was in everything.
Oscar's talking about Zardoz. You haven't seen Zardoz, man. You gotta see Zardoz. Zardoz is a good one.
We talked about Zardoz, didn't we? Not too long ago. I think we did a matinee on it.
But if you like this one, I just want to remind you, go ahead and see Hunter Prey. There's a an inferior copy. I'm going to call it an inferior copy. There's an inferior copy on for free on YouTube with subtitles on it. If you like it, it's even better to see it on DVD. I saw it on DVD. It looked great. This is before Blu-ray.
We might watch it tonight.
We might watch it. We'll probably watch it tonight.
Yeah, and then we can talk about it tomorrow. Right. Because it'll be good because then, because I think when we watched it before and you were like, oh, it's, you know, it's a spiritual sequel, whatever, to Enemy Mine, but I hadn't seen Enemy Mine for such a long time that I didn't remember. But now that we've seen Enemy Mine recently, then it'll be like a lot more.
A little more action than Enemy Mine.
Yeah.
But it's good. Real fucking excellent fucking costumes and special effects. It's kind of like stormtrooper type Imperial soldiers hunting down this fugitive alien that escaped capture. It's like super dangerous and they gotta fucking find it. And they're on this desert planet, out in the Mojave Desert, really. But they fucking, the way they shot it, you do believe you're in an alien desert. And the fun goes from there. Kind of like, I don't know. And then there's reveals and shit as it goes along. Pretty good movie, real good.
All right, so you want to wrap it up the evening? Because I'm kind of sleepy. I don't know why. I got plenty of sleep, but... Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to tell you guys, it's Florida, but last night it went down to 26 degrees Fahrenheit. There was a hard freeze warning.
Yep.
My mom in Ocala actually, wrote to me, and she was like, they said it's going to snow. And she was cutting wood for the fireplace and all of a sudden in case their power went out. So it was like freaking out. So it does actually get cold here sometimes. I think it's supposed to be like hard freeze tonight too, but I think it's going to start warming back up again tomorrow. But yeah, so it was super cold last night. So it does get like that sometimes. All right. So that'll do it for this show. So have a good rest of your Sunday evening and we'll be back tomorrow talking about another movie. All right. Thanks, everybody, for dropping by. Thanks for Super Chats. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.